Hi, this is Sarah Holtz. Welcome to Advice to My Younger Me, a show where women who know what it takes to succeed in the workplace share what they've learned with younger women. Wondering if there is more to LinkedIn than just putting up a profile and passively waiting to see what may come of it? Well, today's guest, Brenda Bernstein, is here to share lots of ways to make LinkedIn work for you and your career. Brenda is the founder of The Essay Expert and author of the best-selling book, How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. Her book's been featured in Fortune and Forbes magazines. Speaking about books, you'll be hearing from me a little less frequently while I take a book break. I'm working on my book, which curates the great advice that's been shared on this podcast over the past 4 years. While I focus on finishing the book, I'll be releasing one episode a month. But make sure that you're subscribed, because the upcoming episodes are filled with actionable, important career advice. And now, on to our show. So Brenda, welcome. We're delighted to have you here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's say that I am a woman who's working in a corporate environment, and I'm very happy with the job that I have. Why should I care about having a LinkedIn profile?
Well, for one thing, I have a philosophy that everyone is always at least a passive job seeker or position seeker. So if you're happy in your job, that's great. And there's probably something that could come along that would interest you. So you may as well have a great profile and be open to it. And you might get contacted about something interesting, whether that's another job or it's a board position or something like that, that would allow you to expand your influence. So that's one reason. Another reason to be on LinkedIn is that it's the place to network. It gives you access to professionals around the world who you can speak with, connect with. You might be contacted to be a mentor for someone. You could probably contribute to another person's career, another young woman who is looking to connect with people like you. So it's a way to give back. It's a way to network and contribute. It's a way to become a thought leader. You can be posting material and articles that you've written on LinkedIn and get some attention that way. It can only be a plus for your career.
Okay, so lots of good reasons to do it, even if I'm not actively job seeking right now. So you have something which you call the all-star LinkedIn profile. What do I need to have in my profile to be considered an all-star profile?
I would say you want to make sure you have a great headshot. You want to have a great background image behind your headshot. Not that little, like the constellation network, blue and white thing that looks like you don't care.
Yeah, which is the generic one that you get from LinkedIn.
Yeah, so don't do that. Default. It's very easy. There are a lot of places that you can go to create a much better LinkedIn background. The more complete your profile is, the better you're going to do in search rankings. And really, the better you're going to be conveying who you are.
One of the things that you identify as something that your version of the all-star profile has is you say that we should have at least 500 connections.
Yes.
How do I find 500 people to connect with?
You might be surprised. You know, I give this as a challenge to a lot of my clients. And sometimes they're like, how could I possibly have that many connections? But then once they start asking people they know, it turns out they actually do know a lot more people than they initially realize. So don't discount your friends and your family. Some of them are going to be on LinkedIn and they could be worth connecting to. You can connect to alumni. That is a huge source of connections. People who went to the same school you did. I mean, we know each other because we both went to Yale, and that's partly why we're connected. People always want to connect with people who went to the same school as they did. They want to help people who went to the same school as they did. Great way to use LinkedIn. And then there's anyone you have worked with. in the past, whether they were your colleagues, your bosses, people who, if you were their boss, if they were vendors that you worked with, any other organizations that you had interactions with and had relationships with. There are so many people out there to connect with. Any people you've been in associations with, if you're a member of an association, any kind of organization, then any member is valid for connecting with. If you're a member of groups on LinkedIn, there's a whole bunch of people you can connect with in those groups. And those people are going to have similar interests to yours. And the reason that you want to have at least 500 is, first of all, if someone's looking at your profile and you have, you know, 127 connections, it just doesn't look like you're connected. I mean,
right.
I mean, at this point, so many people have 500 plus connections, and that's the number that shows up. It doesn't show up if you have more. People initially will just know if they look, you have over 500 or under 500. So why look like you haven't made an effort to connect with people? You know, it doesn't say good things about you. And the other big reason is that if people are looking for you on LinkedIn, this is another important piece of the algorithm, is how many connections you have, how closely you're connected to any given person. So if someone's searching for you and you have no one in common with them, you might not even show up on their search at all, even if they type in your name.
You know, you mentioned we're sort of targeting at least 500 people, and you mentioned like alumni groups, and because we have Yale in common, I'm going to use that as an example. But I mean, a lot of people have gone to Yale, way more than 500, right? So if I were to type into LinkedIn Yale, I'm sure I would get thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So from that group, which is very large, how do I decide who it is I'm going to reach out to try and connect with?
You can start with the people in your class. That would be a smaller subset. And you can also find people who work in certain industries. Whatever your industry is, you can sort the alumni by industry. There are filters you can put on once you get the search results from the alumni. So you can search by geographic location. There are many ways that you can sort and prioritize.
Using this Yale example still. So how would you, let's say, advise me, just as a surrogate for this process, how would you advise me to refine that search of Yale alumni?
Well, what kinds of people would you want to be connecting with?
Okay. So I want to connect with women who work in professional roles in large companies, let's say.
Okay. So I would say you might want to come up with an actual job title.
Mm-hmm. So they might be, let's say, project manager or product manager.
Product manager. You could limit it to people who graduated from Yale who are product managers.
Okay.
And do it that way.
Keep going. San Francisco, tech, things like that. So we've talked about how we reach out to people, but I'm sure many people, like it's true for me, get a lot of invitations from people who they, some whom they know and many of whom they don't. How do I decide whether or not I want to accept that invitation?
I would say do your due diligence. If it's someone who works in a similar industry, read their profile. Look into, okay, is this someone that looks interesting to me who would be a valuable connection? And most of the people who reach out probably are. And then, you know, there's that typical one that doesn't even look like a real picture. You can Google people if you want to. So there are ways to look into who people are, but most people are going to be authentic. You can always see on someone's profile, what groups are they part of? So that'll tell you something about them. Do they have recommendations? How many connections do they have? So if they've got 5 connections, bad sign. Unless you know them and they're just starting out on LinkedIn.
So let me take a step back about this, which is instead of talking, how do I vet them? Let's look at this a little more strategically. Like, when somebody sends me an invitation, what am I looking for? Am I looking for somebody who just is going to add to my 500 people? Let's say they're legit, but you know, they don't work in an area I'm interested in. The nature of their profile doesn't seem a particular match for me. Like, how do I weed out the people I want to include in my network and those I don't? In other words, what am I trying to have my network look like to the rest of the world and also be useful to me?
It's a really good question, and it's a very personal choice. It's not going to be the same answer for everybody. So for me, I write LinkedIn profiles, I write resumes, I work with students who are applying to college, law school, MBA. This is a wide net, right, that I'm casting. Almost everyone on LinkedIn could use someone to help them write their LinkedIn profile. So for me, it makes sense to have a big network, and I'm going to accept almost every invitation that comes in. And, if it's someone who's young, someday, in 10 years, they're going to be an executive and they're going to want me to write their resume and LinkedIn profile. So for me, I'm going to have a lower bar, right, than someone who, let's say, is a venture capitalist. So someone who's in that sort of situation is going to be very particular about who they let into their network because it does reflect on who they are.
I guess that goes to one of my questions, which is, am I being careful in my network that my network reflects who I am, what I'm interested in, what I aspire to, those things, or am I kind of agnostic about that?
No, you definitely want to be careful about what your network reflects.
Okay. So basically, not only am I looking for legitimacy, but I'm looking for, like, is this somebody who in real life I might actually go to a networking event and talk to or make an effort to connect with?
Well, that's up to you as well. I had one person, this only happened once, but I had someone, before he would accept my connection request, he required that I have a phone call with him, which was very interesting. And that person did end up being a valued connection. So that's a story, first of all, about one way that someone did vet his connections. It's also a story about maybe some of the people you connect with are not going to be exactly the right person or valuable to you today, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be valuable to you down the line, or that they're not going to have a connection that's valuable to you. So don't be too overly discerning or rejecting people who you say, well, they're just not in my industry, even though they're, the VP of sales at this very respectable organization, they're just not in my industry. Well, you don't know who's going to be helpful to you down the line. And it's good to have people in your network who can connect you with other people.
So now I'm connected to somebody. Now what? I'm guessing that for most people, they connect and that's the last official act that ever occurs.
Right. So that happens a lot. And it's not what I advise. I mean, sometimes I do that because I have 10,000 people in my network. I mean, there's only so much I can do to be in conversation with them. But it's great to have a little 15-minute phone conversation with a new connection and see what they're all about. I do that fairly often, especially with, like, for me, talking to someone who's an executive coach is a really good connection often, because if they're not resume writers themselves, they may have clients who need executive resumes or board resumes. So we often will have a conversation, and I've referred and received referrals from people like that.
I think on a typical day, I get probably 3 or 4 invitations to connect. And obviously, if I'm having 10-minute conversations with 4 people who I accept, that's more or less an hour out of my day. As I look at that, that's not realistic for me to do. Are there other ways that are sort of less time intensive that I should be in contact with my network?
Well, I think it depends on your goals. I'm not saying that you should have a conversation on the phone with every single person who invites you, but every once in a while, there's someone who looks interesting, then go ahead and do that. So that would be up to you to choose someone that you feel you want to spend that little extra time with. The other thing, people use their networks in various ways. And sometimes it takes you wanting something to reach out to a particular person in your network. Now, I don't think it's a horrible thing that sometimes we just connect with someone and that's that. Once you have people in your connections, if they're in the news, you're going to get an announcement that they're in the news. So if you see that, send them a little congratulations. If I see that someone has a new job or something like that, always write to them and congratulate them. If it's their birthday, I wish them a happy birthday. And I've gotten into some interesting conversations with people if they respond in a particular way to my birthday message. I've gotten clients because I wish someone a happy birthday. So don't miss out on doing that. Now, when you have 10,000 people in your network, there are going to be a lot of people every day who have birthdays. So I have someone who helps me with that. You know, transparency here, complete transparency. I do not do it myself, but I do have, you know, some assistants who help me. And then when someone responds, then I jump in.
So, you know, I know because I've read your book that there's a lot of ways that I can use LinkedIn other than just accumulating people in my network. Can you talk a little bit about if I'm like really committed to getting the most that I can out of LinkedIn, what are all the things that are possible for me to take advantage of?
Well, one big thing, of course, is if you are looking for a job, the jobs function is very robust on LinkedIn. Then there is networking. Maybe you need to find someone to help you out with something. You can use that and do a search and find the person who can help you. I've looked for virtual assistants. I've looked for new writers on LinkedIn. So if you're someone who hires, you know, on the flip side, even if it's for just a part-time contract job, LinkedIn's a great place to find people. It's a great place to learn. There's so much good material that is published on LinkedIn. So you're going to find a lot of articles about things. LinkedIn is a networking site. If you want to connect with an organization, one way is to interact with the company page. A lot of people don't think to do this, and that can be to your advantage if you do it. Because companies are working really hard. And they're posting information and articles and news about their company. And it sits there. And no one interacts with it. So if there's a company you want to get connected with, go to the company page and actually interact with some of the material that they're putting out there. That's a great thing to do. It's a little secret tip. And in terms of finding a connection to a particular person, you can do that by finding out who knows someone who you know at a company, and you can ask them for an introduction. So that's another really important way to use LinkedIn. If you do get connected to someone at an organization, again, you don't say, "Hi, you know, my name is Brenda. Do you have any jobs?" That is not the way to do it. You want to be open for their advice. Take them to lunch and have a conversation. How did they get to where they are? What advice do they have for you, whatever your position is in your career, if you have a goal, what's their advice about how you can meet that goal? What does your resume need to look like? What are you missing that you should be, maybe a course you should be taking, a certification, or something else that you should be doing in order to get that kind of position? And most people would be very, very helpful, especially if they went to the same school you did.
That school thing's very important. Yeah.
Or if they know someone that you know. You know, people they like to have some kind of extra connection versus some random person just asking them for their time.
Well, it's interesting that for as many invitations as I get to connect with people, it's very rare. I'm trying to remember the last time this happened, that somebody actually reached out to me for some advice. People are not overwhelmed with those kinds of requests, would be my guess.
No, not too much. I get some, you know, because I wrote a book about LinkedIn, you know, a lot of times people ask me questions about LinkedIn and people I don't know. And so, you know, I'll usually say, well, here's a really general answer and read my book because there's right. A whole chapter about it.
Yeah, exactly. The appropriate response.
The other thing that just came to mind is, do send a note when you connect with someone. If you send that generic invitation, people don't like it. I don't like it. I'll accept the invitation anyway because I cast a wide net, but a lot of people won't accept unless you write them a personalized invitation. So you want to do that. People will feel much more enthusiastic about connecting with you if you write them that personalized note and tell them why you want to connect with them.
Again, reflecting on my own personal experience, that is true that the people who write me and say, you know, I've been listening to your podcast and I really like this episode, etc. Those people definitely get connected with versus, you know, the more generic request that is just like, I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn. So yeah, that completely comports with my experience. What was the best piece of career advice you were given?
I remember being told that people often have up to, or like there's an average of like 3 careers that most people have. So that really helped me when I was like, I really don't think I want to be a lawyer. And remembering that, it's okay. You're not the only person who changes careers. So it allowed me, kind of gave me permission to be like, okay, that was my first career. And after 10 years of that, plus 3 years of law school, so maybe 13 years, I'm really going to do this. I'm really going to jump and create my next career. And feel like that was a normal thing that a lot of human beings do, and it was okay.
I love that. That's such a great way of talking about that. Well, Brenda, thank you so much for your time here today. You've given us some good homework projects to think about how we can change our LinkedIn profile to be more helpful to us, and also how we can use it to leverage it basically to help us in our career. So really appreciate the time and the wisdom you've shared with us.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brenda, and I hope you'll commit to spending an hour in the next few weeks to enhance your profile and the way you use it. If you have a friend whose LinkedIn profile could use some polishing, please share this episode with her. And if you want even more great career-enhancing advice, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn at ToMyYoungerMe, where I share even more actionable content. Thanks for listening. Till next time, I'm Sarah Holtz.